Hello, amazing entrepreneur. It's Tash Corbin here, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. This is episode number 364, which means you can find all the relevant show notes and links for today's episode over at tashcorbin.com/364. In today's episode, we are talking about entrepreneurial shiny object syndrome. You know that feeling like there's always something new that you need to learn about, there's always something new that you need to buy, there's always something else that is just around the corner between you and your income goals or your business growth goals. We're going to talk about it today and how to make sure that you're making your investment decisions from the right place and be able to discern, is it shiny object syndrome or not? Let's dive in. I'm Tash Corbin, and this is the Heart Centered Business Podcast. So we do often see, we have a big joke about shiny object syndrome, and we make memes about it. And it is funny sometimes to just laugh at ourselves because we're excited about new projects before we've finished the last, or we haven't even completed the 6 courses we signed up for, but we're already looking for another one to do to help us achieve another goal. And so shiny object syndrome is literally that sense that there's always something new and shiny to play with or to purchase or to invest in or to do, and that can cost us. So even though it is funny and we can all joke about it and we all experience shiny object syndrome, there are things that it can cost us. Number one, it can cost us momentum because we haven't seen something through. We're switching from idea to idea. Similarly, with if you're doing a course, whether it's something you're consuming or whether it's something you're creating, something you're promoting, if you're jumping from thing to thing to thing, that can cost us momentum. And so we want to make sure that we're minimizing that lost momentum, that lost time. I talk about this quite a lot when it comes to niching because a lot of people feel like, well, I have 3 little sub niches and so I'll talk to one for a month and then another for a month and then another for a month. But actually, whilst you are switching from niche to niche to niche, often what you're seeing is your momentum, your progress, your that return on investment isn't quite there yet, and then you stop just as you may be seeing you hit that tipping point. So shiny object syndrome can cost us momentum. Similarly, it can cost us growth because if we are switching from thing to thing and we've lost that momentum, especially in terms of presence, audience growth, people seeing us as a subject matter expert in one particular area, then that can actually cost us growth and results in our business as well. Shiny object syndrome can cost us time. The lost time that comes from thinking, no, there must be another answer. No, there must be another answer. No, there must be another thing can mean that we spend more time looking for answers than we do just implementing and moving forward. And it means that especially in consumption mode, if we look at shiny object syndrome as jumping from course to course or mentor to mentor, that can also cost us because we always feel like we're a beginner. We always feel like there's something new to learn, and it can be quite overwhelming to always feel like you're in beginner mode for everything that you're doing in your business. Now, I love taking a learning mindset and a beginner's mindset to this idea of business, but for each individual thing that I'm learning, I want to make sure I get to the intermediate and advanced levels. So for example, if you're buying a course on how to run 5-day challenges and you run one fairly poorly because it was your first time around, and then you think, maybe not challenges, I'm going to learn how to run webinars. You buy a course on how to run webinars. You run maybe 1, maybe 2 webinars. Yeah, it's not really my thing. I'm going to do a 30-day challenge. Okay, well, I'm going to have to learn how to do that. I'm going to do low ticket courses. The reason it didn't work was because I didn't charge enough for it, right? So you end up jumping from thing to thing to thing, but you're consistently a beginner in all of those things. And actually, if you had just stuck with the first thing, 5-day challenges, and learned how to refine and scale that thing and get to the intermediate and advanced levels of running 5-day challenges, you would have seen far more results than if you just kept jumping from thing to thing. And then the final thing that it can cost us is, in terms of big stuff, is money. it can cost us money from an income perspective because we're not sticking with our zone of genius. We're not sticking with getting something to work and really that refine and review and scaling it up. But it also can cost us money in terms of expenses because we're constantly thinking that someone else must have a magical answer or there must be one magical course that I need to buy. And so we're consistently spending money on what we perceive as that new shiny solution, but it's not actually the thing that's going to fix the problem that you have. You don't need another strategy. You just need to really nail the foundations underneath that strategy and stick with it for a while and so that you can do those refinements and get those improvements happening. So where does shiny object syndrome come from and how do we move ahead? Well, before we dive into the four layers of how we move on from shiny object syndrome, I want us to really understand where that comes from and what's underneath it, because that can help us to, number one, identify, is this actually something I need or is this shiny object syndrome? And also it can help us, number two, to identify, why am I getting drawn into shiny object syndrome if that's what it is? And at the core of all shiny object syndrome is fear. There's a fear of missing out. So it might be that you fear missing out on money because you did a launch about topic X and a couple of people asked about topic Y. Well, if I don't create something on topic Y, then I'm leaving money on the table. I'm missing out. You don't have to be all things to all people. And, you know, this was something that I actually did quite terribly when I ran my takeoff program for the first time around. So I created the takeoff program to help people to really nail their foundations and get clients coming in fairly consistently. And the takeoff program was a phenomenal success in terms of what I delivered that first time around. But then some of the students in takeoff were asking, well, what's next? And so rather than relaunch the takeoff program and be really known for being in that space, I decided that meant I needed to create the next level program. And so I went in and created the next level program, but I had created all this momentum with the first launch of the takeoff program, and I didn't actually rinse and repeat that launch. I didn't scale that launch up. And so the number of sales I made for my second program was less than half of my first launch of the takeoff program. And a bunch of people assumed that I wasn't working with people in the early stages of business anymore because my second program was more advanced. And so I wish that I could go back and tell that Tash to say, hey, if anyone's asking for what's next and how they can work with you from here, work with them as VIPs, relaunch the takeoff program, relaunch it over and over and over. But what it was this fear of missing out on being those people's mentors from here and fear of missing out because I didn't have another self-study program or another group mentoring program. So I was worried I was going to miss out on those sales. When in fact, if I had just focused on relaunching the takeoff program, I would have made far more money. I would have been able to create that snowball of momentum with the focal point and that niche that I was focused on for the takeoff program. And I wouldn't have wound up 9 to 10 months later thinking, I might relaunch that takeoff program again, but having lost all of my momentum with the right niche for that program. So that fear of missing out on the sale or that fear of missing out on a special offer that that person has can often lead us to make that decision to engage with the shiny object because we're worried that we're going to miss out on something. There's some kind of magical thing going to happen and I'm not going to be part of it. So that's one of the big ones. There's other fears that can also drive shiny object syndrome. Things like, the thing I'm doing right now, it's not going to work. I'm afraid it's not going to work. So I need a backup plan of what else am I learning? What else am I going to try? So I see people all the time where they're in the midst of launching with a couple of webinars and then they start to fear that the webinars aren't going to work and that launch isn't going to work. So then they go off and look for what else can they add to the launch? What else could they incorporate as part of that launch process? Do they need to do low ticket as an up and do an upsell as part of their launch? And so that fear that what you're currently doing won't work drives you to go and look out for new solutions when you actually don't know whether it's going to work or not yet. And often it's just that we're asking the wrong question. Instead of saying, will this launch work or not? Start asking, how do I make this launch work? And instead of looking for new things to make that launch work, look at ways that you can really nail the strategy you've chosen. Because for most businesses and for most people that I work with, I say all the time, like, I can make any platform work. I can make any strategy work. We can make this work. The question is, what is missing from this? How do we scale up what it is that you're wanting to do? It's not that 5-day challenges are better than webinars. They each have pros and cons. They each work to different skill sets and strengths. They each work for different niches. And so rather than worrying and having that fear that what you're or you've committed to won't work, instead get tenacious about making what you've committed to work. Yeah. A big one as well can be that you fear that you're not enough, right? I'm alone am not enough, so I need that extra qualification. I'm not enough, so I need to have a mentor who gives me permission to do the next thing. I am not enough, so I need to have 16 different offers instead of just having one signature offer. Another big fear, and this is definitely one that's struck me a few times, is fear that it should be harder than this. So things start to feel quite easy, and subconsciously that feels uncomfortable. And so we get all caught up in shiny object syndrome because we're looking for more work. We're looking to add workload because there's a subconscious or conscious guilt or belief that this is too easy. And so we go looking for new things. And then the big one, I think, when it comes to shiny object syndrome is that fear that someone else has nailed it because they know some secret that you don't. And the reason why we have shiny object syndrome driven by that fear is because that's the exact messaging a lot of marketing specialists and gurus use to make you feel that way so that you buy their products and buy their courses and their mentoring. They've discovered the secret to going viral on Instagram. They've discovered the secret to really high conversion email marketing. They've discovered the secret to making 5-day challenges work as a paid lead magnet. They've discovered the way to have low ticket offers create 6-figure-a-year income, right? That we are consistently bombarded by messaging that tells us there is a secret answer. There is this one tiny pivot that you're away from making that big income leap. There's this one magical strategy. There's this one magical formula. There's this one magical process that is between you and your big goals and dreams. And all it's going to take is you buying this thing from me and I'll tell you what the secret is. But in 99.9% of cases, it's not that you don't know something. It's that you haven't worked out how to make that something work for your business, for your niche. And for most people, that's foundations. So how do we create that sense of resilience against shiny object syndrome and ensure that we're not falling victim to shiny object syndrome consistently in our businesses? Well, I think it comes down to 4 layers. And they're 4 layers of confidence. So it's confidence in your foundations. If you know you've got the right niche, your messaging is resonant, you've got a clear value proposition, you know your offer is really good, then you have that confidence in that offer, you will be less susceptible to shiny object syndrome, right? So getting that real proof of concept and that real sense of clarity over your foundations and confidence in your foundations will help you be more immune to shiny object syndrome. And so if that's something you don't think that you have nailed, or you feel like, oh yeah, I do have some wobbles about my foundations, focus your time, energy, and attention there. And you don't get that security of foundations by hiring yet another strategist to teach you how to do webinars, or hiring a copywriter to write all your messaging for you, all of your sales pages and emails for you. Number one, there's no person who would be able to do all of the writing that needs to be done in your business for you. There is a ton of writing and copy that needs to be created. Number two, great copywriters ask you questions about your foundations. And so if you still can't answer those questions, the copy they're going to be able to produce for you is going to be less than ideal. And so the way that we prove our foundations and create confidence in our foundations is through that high connection making sales. So the fastest way to prove your niche is to go out there and share content and offers with your niche and have them engage. The fastest way to prove your offer is something that your audience really wants from you is to get a bunch of leads into sales conversations through some very simple high connection strategies and pitch your offer. Qualify, do the sales conversation and pitch your offer. If you have 10 sales conversations and you don't make a single sale, you've got an issue. So no shiny object is going to fix that. No challenge strategy, no special reach strategy, no buying 10,000 followers on Instagram is going to solve the fact that you don't have an offer people want to buy and you don't know how to express the value proposition of that offer in a way that has people excited to invest. So make sure you've got that deep confidence in your foundations. And if you don't have that confidence, then be tenacious about getting that sorted first and foremost. Second is strategy, confidence in your strategy to attract and convert clients. I present that as the client attraction process, and I'll make sure I link in the show notes of today's episode at tashcorbin.com/364 to a podcast episode about your client attraction process, because that is, again, something that's really critical and foundational. So if you have confidence in your client attraction process, my primary social media is Facebook. My primary reach strategy is being in other people's groups and low-cost ads. My primary nurture strategies are a weekly podcast and email marketing. My primary lead generation strategies are webinars and high conversion one-to-one outreach. My key conversion strategies are doing sales conversations and running special offers once every 8 weeks, right? So if you have confidence in, like, this is the strategy that I'm using, and all I'm doing is refining and scaling up that strategy so that it's bringing in the right level of reach to have the number of leads that I need to make the number of sales that I need, then you'll be far more capable of resisting that shiny object syndrome. And building your confidence in your client attraction process also allows you to refine the messaging that you're taking in as well. So if, for example, I know that my primary social media platform is Facebook, it's not Instagram. I play with Instagram, I dabble with Instagram, I still have a presence on Instagram, but I'm not recording a reel every single day or using stories consistently, right? I play, that's a play space for me. So that means that I don't need to follow content creators who teach Instagram strategy, because all it will do is bring up a bunch of shiny object syndrome for me. So why would I create that sense in myself? So actually, just recently, I went through and unfollowed a bunch of people on Instagram and Facebook because the core social media platform that they teach is Instagram, and I really don't need it. I don't need it for my business. And I already have two really amazing Instagram strategists that I follow who, because I help people with their Instagram, I want to make sure I am still up to speed with what works on Instagram and what the core strategies are that people use. So I just know who my two people are that I work with and that I follow, and they keep me abreast of everything that's happening on Instagram anyway. So I do not need to have dozens of Instagram creators and Instagram specialists popping up in my newsfeed talking about their client successes and, oh, this went viral and went in front of a million people, all those sorts of things, because it create that sense of FOMO for me. Number three is confidence in your existing mentors. So this is related as well. If you know that these are the five people that I really align with the way that they run their business, I really align with the strategy that they teach, I really align with the way that they show up and the values that they demonstrate in their business, it's far easier to avoid shiny object syndrome and following that new shiny mentor, that new shiny guru, when you've got that confidence in your existing mentors. So even just asking yourself, like, to what extent am I confident in the existing mentors that I'm working with? And I'm confident that they will be able to support me with the questions that I have for my strategy, for my foundations, that I have the appropriate level of support. If you've got that nailed, you can kind of create that sense of, I don't need anything else. And I am resilient to that shiny object syndrome. And that might mean that you need to make a strategic decision to choose a mentor. For a lot of people, they know that they want to work with a mentor, but they're still dilly-dallying, right? They've been following a bunch of different people for months, if not years, and they still have never really invested in that high-touch support or that one-to-one mentorship or, you know, having that dedicated mentor that you are working with on an ongoing basis. Still trying to glean as much as you can in the free stuff or in the low ticket stuff. And actually all you need is someone that you can have a conversation with regularly. And if you had actually made that investment decision, you would be able to block out a bunch of that fear-based messaging that's popping up from all the different people that you're following. And then the final layer of confidence is confidence in yourself. So if you are still feeling really unconfident around, I don't know if I'm cut out for online business. I don't know if I'm ready to show up. Oh, I don't like being visible, right? If you've got all of that confidence in yourself that's still not there, then that takes commitment, right? That takes a choice that often also takes mentorship to really see why you're discrediting yourself or why you're lacking confidence in yourself. One of the fastest ways that you can grow your confidence is through taking action consistently. You don't learn how to ride a bike by theorizing and mentally, you know, preparing alone. You need to actually go out there and make a few mistakes, go out there and have a practice. So for a lot of people, that confidence in yourself as an online business owner simply comes through the practice of being an online business owner and sharing things and going out and talking to potential clients. So there's lots and lots of ways that we can be susceptible to shiny object syndrome. There's also lots and lots of ways that we can create resilience against shiny object syndrome. And so looking at those four layers of foundations, strategy, your client attraction process, your existing mentors and yourself, where do you lack confidence the most? Where can you be sure to create that sense of confidence and work on it so that you are creating more and more resilience to shiny object syndrome moving forward? Because that will improve your momentum. That will improve your results and the income that you're making. That will mean that you can feel that sense of confidence that you're moving from beginner into intermediate and advanced levels on things because you stick with them. So hopefully you found this episode of the podcast really helpful. I would love, love, love if you have a question or if you've got something you'd like me to talk about on the podcast, I'm looking for your ideas and your questions right now. All you need to do is go to tashcorbin.com/question. I'll have the link to that in the show notes of today's episode as well. And let me know, like, what is it that you're struggling with? What do you have questions about? And we also grab your handles and your websites. We give you link backs. It's really good for your SEO. Give you a shout out on our socials and the podcast as well. So come on over to tashcorbin.com/364. You'll be able to find the show notes of today's episode, any relevant links, and you'll be able to go and ask your question for future podcast episodes as well. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Heart Center Business Podcast. And until next time, I cannot wait to see you shine. Bye for now. Would you like more tips, tools, and resources to help you grow your heart-centered business? Head to tashcorbin.com today.